Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. I never thought I would say it again, but mortgage interest rates are in the twos. And by twos, I mean we are locking 30-year fixed loans in the twos. And when rates are this low, we've been able to get people out of 30-year mortgages down to a 15-year without even increasing their payment. If you have a mortgage, let's see how much money we can save you. The 5-minute loan approval only available at TheHomeLoanExpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC, NMLS number 1326241.
This is no ordinary sub shop. This is Firehouse Subs.
Welcome to Firehouse.
Tired of overpriced lunches that underdeliver on flavor? Head to Firehouse Subs, where for a limited time, you can get a $4.99 choice sub. Choose from a medium smoked turkey, Virginia honey ham, or roast beef. They're custom-made hot subs at a price ready-made to make you smile. Just $4.99, only at Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives. Participating locations plus tax, limited time offer, prices may vary for delivery.
Are you excited for this NBA season?
Jazz will look for three. Bang!
Oh, a shot! And he puts it down!
You won't want to miss a second of NBA action by downloading the NBA app.
Oh, well, throw it down, yes.
What a pass. Oh, what a finish.
He knocks it down.
Be the first to view highlights, player news, injury reports, game predictions, and much more simply by downloading the NBA app for free, located in the App Store.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, Radio.com Sports Station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago.
The Score!
Top of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves host Craft Beer Night at 7 p.m. tonight as they face the Tucson Roadrunners. Get a ticket to the game, three craft beers for one low price. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. And this hour is also being brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56David.com. That's 56David.com. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to two on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Our guest to start things off today for the house party is Corey Robinson. So did you actively say I'm moving towards football because of who my dad is?
No, I wasn't that fortunate. I was just really bad at basketball.
Did you feel any pressure at all?
Yeah, like when you walk into a gym and you're in high school and everyone's like, oh, who's David Robinson here to see? And then you're the only black guy, you know, at the private school. And everyone's like, I can only assume that it's that 6'5 black guy.
How did your dad approach it with you?
He's a teacher. You know, he wanted to say, hey, let's go out to the gym and shoot. But when I was a kid, I didn't understand that. Once again, he was a Hall of Famer. So I was like, Dad, what do you know about basketball? Like, I'm not going to go shoot with you. Like, I'm going to go shoot with my friends. But I mean, terrible decision in hindsight, because I wish I would have like learned from my dad versus like the other freshman who was thinking, you know, oh, this is how Kobe does a fadeaway. My dad was actually played against Kobe. Like, you know, he actually knows.
Guest week on the Lawrence Holmes Show continues now. No whammies, no whammies, no whammies. Stop.
Today on the house party that is going on, we got a 2-for-1. I am so excited that both of my guests were able and so flexible to come and hang out at the same time. Ben Finfer. What? Ben Finfer on the Score airways?
It's a big mistake.
Huge mistake.
How many of your other options had coronavirus and couldn't come in today?
I think that there were a lot more that did. No, you were on the list. Herbie and I had talked about giving you a microphone early on in the process. And Nancy Armour and I hung out at the Super Bowl. And I was like, you know what? Nancy should come in here and just hang out, and we should talk about all sorts of stuff, and including the Super Bowl and the Bears and Eli Manning being around and all sorts of other stuff. So Nancy Armour is a columnist for USA Today. She's nice enough to join me here in studio as well. So the house party continues. While everyone else is out in Arizona, I got the house to myself, and I'm inviting people over for drinks.
This is awesome. Thanks for having me in. Herb texted me the other day. He's like, by the way, Nancy Armour is also going to be in. I'm like, oh, she's way more interesting than I am.
I don't know about that.
This isn't fair.
So Nancy, thanks for rushing in here. I know that you wanted you're not late. The show hadn't started yet. Yeah, you hadn't rushed in here. When we were at media night down in Florida. Like, we could talk for a little bit, but then things got crazy down there. So I didn't get a chance to ask you kind of your thoughts about the Bears. And I wanted to ask you about the Bears, especially with, okay, let me run through the events a little bit, where it starts with Cole Wright saying, hey, I think maybe Eli is out to dinner with the Bears at this place. And he's like, I wasn't reporting that. And I'm like, Cole, people still remember you from NFL Network. You can't just be throwing stuff out there like that. It leads to the bigger question of what the Bears should do at their quarterback spot. You talk to a ton of people around the NFL. What are they saying about Mitch and Nagy and Pace?
I'm trying to think of how to put this nicely. I think, honestly, that the only person who thinks that Mitchell Trubisky is a number one quarterback in the NFL is Ryan Pace. I mean, I don't think anybody looks at Trubisky and the body of work at this point and says, yeah, this guy's going to be Deshaun Watson. He's going to be Patrick Mahomes. And this whole thing that Pace says about, oh, it's learning curve and some people have a steeper learning curve. Well, you're the one who drafted him. Like, what were you thinking? And the fact that they're saying, you know, that they're doubling down and saying he's our number one, we're committed to him this season. I'm sorry. I think you got to go out and get a free agent. And I think the Eli thing is smoke. Maybe I'm being very naive, but I actually believed him when he said once a giant, always a giant. And I actually got an email this morning from somebody saying that they are releasing an Eli Manning bobblehead retirement, or retirement bobblehead. So
and you can't undo
you,
that.
You know, you can't. Not when you have a retirement bobblehead, you cannot take
that
back.
Yep.
No backsies.
Yeah, exactly. And Trubisky does have some relationship with the Manning family. He called Peyton Manning before he, you know, when he was trying to decide if he should come out of school early. You know, maybe they're trying to figure out, like, what do you have any suggestions of what we should do with him? I don't think Eli Manning's coming here, but I think that, and I think the consensus is that they need to get somebody, some free agent here, because Trubisky's not the answer.
Well, let's go back to the bigger issue that you brought up. If I hear Ryan Pace bring up Drew Brees.
Oh, my God.
One more time.
Mitchell Trubisky is not Drew Brees.
Thank you. And it should be clear that
I'm
he's
writing
not.
That down.
Write that down, Finji.
Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah. I'm so sick of him using that as a, well, you know, he could get a lot better. One, why are you comparing him to one of the greatest quarterbacks who's ever lived?
Right.
Like, at this point, you should just stop doing that out of respect to him, out of respect to Mitch. You should stop doing that. But it frustrates me that there does seem to be kind of a starry-eyed way that Pace looks at his quarterback. I'm not sure that that's the case anymore for his head coach.
Yeah. No, and I think, you know, the thing to remember, too, is that Nagy came in and Trubisky was already here. It was not as if Nagy was part of the room draft night and said, that's the guy I want. You know, Trubisky was kind of forced upon him, and for lack of a better term.
Though supposedly a big part of why they hired Nagy is
because
he was glowing about Trubisky.
Yeah.
If you want to believe that or not, I don't know.
But. Right. And obviously he's had success with molding quarterbacks and developing quarterbacks. But again, you have two seasons and, you know, Lawrence, you and I talked about this a couple of times in the last 2 years, but the mistakes that Trubisky was making this past season are the same ones he was making the first season. You're not seeing any kind of recognition or any kind of growth. And I don't know that that's something you can teach. I think you either get it or you don't. And that's
why the pace kind of doubling and tripling down on, well, you know, he didn't have a lot of experience coming. Yeah, that should have been a big part of your draft process.
Right.
Was trying to figure out if he was going to be able to accelerate. And to me, you don't, and I don't want to relitigate this, but you don't trade up for that.
Especially when you didn't need to.
Correct.
And also when you had Deshaun Watson sitting there. And, you know, I freely admit I didn't expect Mahomes to be Mahomes at, you know, back then, but I had seen Deshaun Watson at two title games, knew what he could do. And I remember screaming at my TV the night that they drafted him going, what are you doing? And nothing I've seen since then has changed my mind.
Yeah. And they didn't even interview Deshaun Watson, too.
That's the thing that hurts.
Am I the only one that's holding out hope that they're just lying and they really are ready to move on?
It is lying season.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, you got to sort of take everything with a grain of salt these days. But you never know, because front office guys in every sport do have a history of waiting too long to make a move like that. They don't want to admit that they're wrong. They never do in every sport.
Well, and also, too, the Bears front office is not exactly known for being transparent or being open about what it's going to do. So, you know, hey, that is possible. But can I just knock this one down before it even gets started? Tom Brady is not coming to Chicago.
Okay. I don't know if I ever really believe that anyway.
I'm not sure that, there's anyone free agent wise that actually makes sense. Like that you could connect the dots, like any of the big names,
right?
Like Philip Rivers or Tom Brady, like that. That's, and obviously Drew Brees, like those things are not going to happen
because those guys are going to want to start. They want to be assured they are the starter. They only have a year or two left. Anyway.
Well, they would be, but I also don't think that the Bears have enough cash. Like, and they could have some cap flexibility by extending guys and cutting some guys, but not where you're going to be need to be to get those guys. Or I even think Teddy Bridgewater is out of this discussion too. I think he's going to cost too much money.
It's also not the only position they need to fix. They need to get a tight end. They need to upgrade the offensive line. They need to fix now or add to the secondary because they lost some guys there. So they now, if there is a new CBA, which we'll know in about a week or so.
Well, their votes today. The votes started going in today. Yeah. Players started voting on it.
They have a week to vote on this thing. It is possible that the CBA allows for a higher salary cap.
It should, considering the type of money that's going to be available to the owners once they do the new television deals, which are going to be mammoth. As you can tell, here's all you need to know. CBS is so confident that they gave $170 million to Tony Romo.
Right.
Right. And other networks would have done the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah. If not more than that. I mean, yeah, the pile of money is just going to get, it's already a massive pile of money and it's just going to get even bigger.
How crazy is it that Tony Romo is going to make more money as a broadcaster than he ever made as a player?
And as a quarterback, which is a position where you get paid pretty well, generally.
And he was a good quarterback. It's not like he was, you know, some journeyman or even, you know, a quarterback on a bad team. He was one of the league's marquee quarterbacks.
And now he gets a guaranteed deal.
Yeah.
For calling games instead of playing the game.
No concussions anymore. Yeah, that's a good job.
It's a great gig.
And that's not gone unnoticed by some of the guys. It's been really interesting to watch the reaction of the players to the CBA and the, you know, the kind of lobbying back and forth and the explanations and what people are saying, you know, like why it's a good deal, why it's not a good deal. And there were quite a few players after Romo's deal was announced that, you know, making the comment about the guaranteed money and the fact that he was making more to broadcast the games than he is to play the game. So that's not gone lost on the players.
What would Peyton Manning get if he truly wanted to do that job?
$20 million.
He'd get more than Romo.
$20 million a year.
Yeah.
Easy.
We don't know what he's going to be like broadcast wise. We know what he like, you know, he's obviously personable on TV.
We could assume he'd probably be pretty good at it.
I would think so. Yeah. And he comes in with a bigger name than Romo. So I would agree at least 20 mil.
And his Peyton's Places show is pretty good.
Yeah.
I've noticed that I don't have ESPN Plus, right? That's what it is. Or the ESPN Plus app. But now what they've done, these montages of the episodes on ABC. So on Saturdays, I just set my record for Peyton's Places so that I could see some of it. So I saw the one where it was Tom Brady and him at Jim Nance's house playing because he has a replica of one of the holes in his backyard.
One of Jim Nance's houses.
Yes.
I assume.
That's a good point that you make. Ben Finfer and Nancy Armour are the voices that you hear here. It's the house party this week. We're having guest week. Let me ask you guys. I think that the NFL the owners did a really creative job with the rollout of the CBA, where their rollout was, we want a 17th game. Here's what we're going to do. We're only going to pay you guys $250,000. And the players were like, no, you're not doing that. And they were like, okay, you're right. Let's take that away and we'll pay you what we ordinarily play. Oh, by the way, we're also going to give a raise to the guys at the bottom of the roster in the NFL. Now sign the deal. while all the guys that are making the big money are like, no, 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 this is a terrible deal. It's going to be really difficult for those players to sway the other ones that are trying to earn money that's going to keep them, you know, happy and healthy for the next 5 years when guys have some of their guaranteed money already in the house. I thought it was a brilliant negotiating ploy by the NFL owners to do what they've done.
It is. It's not surprising. Part of it is, too, that the owners always hold the cards. And in this case, that's true, too. I mean, they have so much power. They can do whatever they want. They know how to manipulate this stuff. They've all made their little deals. They know what's going on.
But they shouldn't have the power. And this is the thing that just infuriates me with stuff like this. Without the players, you don't have games. And it's always portrayed as, oh, this is the best deal that the players can get. No, it's not. If you tell them, hey, we're going to hold out, and I get it. You know, getting these guys to do that is a tough ask. But if these guys tell Jerry Jones, yeah, you know what? Jerry World is going to be empty for for the first 3 weeks of the season, unless you give us 52% of the revenue or whatever they want. These guys have more leverage than they realize, and that they ever operate with.
But the owners can wait longer than the players can, though.
It's an easier coalition of people to keep united.
It's smaller.
Yeah, you got 32 people that you can keep united versus 1,900.
And the owners are all aligned. They all want the same thing, and that's right. To screw over the players.
Yes.
That's what it is.
And make as much money as they can.
Yes.
Whereas you do have these different groups, like you said, Lawrence, you've got the people who are making the ton of money, and then you've got the players at the bottom who are saying, hey, this looks like a great deal to me. It's more than I've ever made. I don't know if you guys saw, J.C. Treader did a big breakdown yesterday of the different points in the contract. And one of the things that I found interesting was he was saying that, yeah, some of the money that is going to be going to the lower paid guys, it's actually just moving money around. So, you know, it looks like they're getting more money, but that money is coming from somewhere, and it's not coming out of the owner's
pockets.
You
mean they're going to have fewer K-cups in the office, yes, or something? Is that what they're cutting back in other areas?
There will be no snacks in the break room.
Yeah.
But the players,
that is demoralizing, by the way.
They seem to always lose. We were in the Bears locker room back in 2009 when there were player reps telling guys, save your money.
Yep.
Save your money. And then you end up in this situation where guys didn't save their money. They ended up having predatory loans that they were taking out.
Yep.
I had a conversation with Kyle Long about this yesterday, and he said, look, I'm even with everything I know about these negotiations from my dad and my brother, with everything I know about the money aspect of it, it's still hard to do the right thing when it comes to your money.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're talking about guys that it's a lot of money to the average person, someone who's making the minimum in the NFL, who's making $500,000 a year. But if you're thinking, well, what am I going to do when I don't play football? And that'll be in 3 years. Will I legitimately have enough money to not work or to take care of all of the other things that I have to take care of? So it becomes an enticing thing. It's a carrot that the owners put out there for these guys.
And you're also, you mentioned 3 years, which is, if you're a guy and you're, you know, maybe you're in your second year of the league and you're thinking, I only have another year or two. Do I really want to give up half of that year for a contract that is not going to do me any good except for maybe a year or two?
Right.
I get why the players are always anxious to sign, but it is not always in their best interest.
But I think it's fair to assume the owners are going to win this.
It feels that way. But I will say what there seems to be a lot of momentum for it. I was in Arizona and it was like it was going to happen the next day. It was going to happen the next day, 3 weeks ago. I do like that there's at least been a bit of a slowing down. And I'm with you, Nancy. I like hearing even the guys that are at the top of the pay scale saying, this is why I feel this way about this CBA. And tactless as maybe the Pouncies were in their thoughts on helping out teammates, I think their message is correct. The message of older guys that are in a better place financially need to go to the younger guys or the fringe players on the roster and say, you're covered while we go through this. And trust me, you're going to be happier on the other side of this when we get everything we want.
It is hard, though. It is just, that would be so hard to buy if you're a young player. And
sure,
you got some money coming in. You want that Xbox. For me, that's an expensive purchase.
Whatever the
equivalent, is for a guy making $1 million of an Xbox.
The other thing to think of too is that the contract doesn't expire until the end of next season, or I guess the end of this season, the one coming up. So there is time, and I've seen a couple of people say, whenever the owners are pushing something this hard, you really got to be careful because it is not in your best interest. So